We're doing Maase Shimshon. We're up to page Yud Dalid, line 220. The deceit was telling the Timnis, Hineni le'ezratech, I'm here to assist you. Malach Eifo, and we discussed that prophecy in Isaiah, where the Navi speaks, why have you all gone up to the rooftops? Malach Eifo Hagidi, what's bothering you? Tell me. Matehemi matirai. And the term matehemi appears twice in Tanakh, in Psalms 42 and 43. We were about to look at that last week. I say, look at that in your own time, you'll see interesting things. That's the only place we have matehemi. It actually appears twice over there. In those two chapters which are adjacent, David speaks to his own soul when he says matehemi. Matirai. Why do you fear? And we will see that deceit will repeat that matirai at the end of her coming speech. But we'll get back to that then. Right now, let's move forward. So, deceit asks her, what are you so worried about? And the Timnis answers, yareti. I don't know if this is a play on words, but the word yareti in the beginning of a speech is how the Chazan begins his speech when the Chazan's about to start davening on Musaf, Yom Kippur. He says, yareti biftzoach. I'm scared. As I open my mouth, I'm going to stand before the Creator. We're going to see that many terms that are used here with regards to deceit are also used in Tanakh with regards to the Creator. And I think that possibly Ramchal was showing us the juxtaposition. This idea that you have two options in life. When a person has emunah bitachon, when he's connected to Hashem, he doesn't need deceit. He doesn't need to outsmart and swindle other people because he's working with Hashem. And a person really has this choice repeatedly in life. Will a person say, I got to do it, I got to do it, and then he's going to move his stocks on Yom Kippur. I can't forget 5 years ago when the market crashed, 2008, and the headlines on a Reform newspaper showed people in shul with their iPhones. I walked into yeshiva at that time. Someone had a subscription, in a different yeshiva, not here. They had a subscription to this Reform newspaper. And on the headlines was about how difficult Yom Kippur davening was for all these people as they're looking at their iPhones, watching their stocks crash. I understand the gates are hara. But I understand the gates are hara. I understand that, you know, a person has to go to shul and he doesn't know what's doing with the stock market. So there's always this yetzer hara that maybe if I make an extra move, that's what'll make things right. And we have a choice. We have a repeated choice. And in so many decisions of our life, especially big decisions, we have this recurring choice between going with Hashem in the way of the Torah and going with our own desires, our feeling that we can control our destiny. We have a certain amount of control, it's true, but we also have to realize there's a system and this is a choice we're making. So throughout this speech, I kept encountering words that are used in Tanakh almost solely with regards to Hashem. And here, in this speech, they're used with regard to deceit. And I have to wonder if that's not the hidden message here, where this is a recurring choice we have in life. Will I cheat on my taxes or not? They'll never know. Let's assume you're right. But is it only a question of what they will know? Maybe there's a question up above. I had an interesting, I saw it myself. I was giving people mezuzot, attaining mezuzot at a very cheap price for people. Guys came, they wanted mezuzot, and they needed cheap mezuzot. People very often come home and there are no kosher mezuzahs in the house. The parents aren't willing to invest in kosher mezuzahs. So I arranged cheap mezuzahs for people. And to get cheap mezuzahs isn't such an easy thing, right? You can get cheap mezuzahs which are typewritten or written by some Arab lady. But if you want kosher mezuzahs on cloth that are cheap, not so easy. So I was getting mezuzahs at about 45, 50 shekel a piece, kosher mezuzahs. That's very good. That's very cheap, right? Okay. So at one point I said to myself, what would be so terrible if I get them at 50? I give them at 55. Now this thought occurred very innocently because one of my kids grabbed 5 expensive mezuzahs that someone ordered and ate them. And now these mezuzahs chewed on them, right? And now these mezuzahs, which were 250 shekel mezuzahs, were destroyed. And I was out 1,000 shekel. And I said to myself, all this time I never took a penny from anyone. But now I have to foot the bill for what the kid did. That's 1,000 shekel down the tubes. Now I never took a cent. So I said, maybe I should really take 5 shekel just to cover my cost, because here and there things go bad. And I was toying with the idea. And then I said to myself, you know what? The buyer will never know. The seller will never know. And legally, they'll never know. But legally, I have to file taxes if I start making those 5 shekel a mezuzah. I don't want to file taxes and then have to answer to them. I said, forget it. But I remember the days I was deliberating. I said to myself, technically, I'm only covering costs. Technically, you don't have to pay taxes on that. Realistically, you do have to report it. So then you walk around with these thoughts. Who's going to know? And then you say, no, there's one who does know. So back to...
This is that cheap. Sounds like you got a business going. I mean, if you wanted to. That's very... That's, I mean, I don't know the prices in Israel so much, but by the state standards, that's insanely cheap.
Yeah, they're used mezuzah. They're the cheapest quality, obviously, in many ways, even halachically.
Sure. I mean, you're talking in the States where people put the thing up without even anything inside sometimes. Just the housing. So it's a step up.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Anyway,
so today I give you the phone number of the sofrim where you could get it, and you get your own thing.
Yeah.
I took the liability away. It's like, yeah, I can't foot the bill for the liability. It's not fair. That's the flip side. Okay. So the Timnis says to deceit, Yareti, I was fearful, Peneye leshochelet lechem, lest I be sent to the fire that consumes bread. The word bread here seems out of place. Why does she say fire that consumes bread? So in Tanakh, we find that the word bread can either refer to all of food, all of a meal is called lechem. Lechem refers to food at large, not necessarily bread. But lechem is also a euphemism for marriage. It says the Egyptians wouldn't eat bread with the Hebrews. Doesn't mean they wouldn't marry them or they wouldn't eat with them. It says, Yosef says about his master, he gives me a free rein in this house, aside from the bread, ki malechem asher hu ochel, aside from the bread that he eats. What's Yosef talking about? He's telling Potiphar's wife, he gives me free rein here, aside from you. You're the only thing he's withheld from me, and that's because you're the bread he eats. In other words, you're his wife. So we find that the term lechem, the term bread, you see it also in Mishle. When Shlomo wants to describe a woman who's unfaithful to her husband, so he says, achala umachatafia, she eats, she wipes the crumbs off her mouth, v'amra lo falti aven, and she says, I didn't do anything. And that's a euphemism. Eats, wipes off her mouth, and says, I didn't do anything. It's not talking about eating bread, right? So we find this. I mean, Chazal even went further. Okay, that's a long discussion. So she says, I'm scared. I'll be thrown into a fire that consumes bread. We have to wonder, that word bread seems out of place. Could be it's a reference to her marriage. And then the question is, was she worried about the fire? Or was she worried about her marriage? What was she concerned about? So Mirmad, the seed, answers her, you're consumed of a fire that will consume bread. That's what you're worried about? Mazeh ve'al mazeh. Okay? Where does it say mazeh ve'al mazeh? You guys know that, right? Ladat mazeh ve'al mazeh. Esther sitting in the palace. She's told that Mordechai is outside. His clothes are torn. So she sends Hasach. She sends her servants and says, go check Ladat maze ve'al maze. Go check what happened that caused them to be so perturbed. Okay? I'm not sure what the reference here, because we will see that there are references to positive deceit in this speech. And we were wondering before, is Ramchal alluding to the idea that there's room to view the Timnis positively? Where else do we find deceit in the Torah? The Torah, unfortunately, I guess, is filled with deceit, saying Rebecca, but it begins with Adam and Eve, right? I say unfortunately because it's not clear we ever benefited from those moments of deceit. You know, when Eve is deceitful towards Adam, well, death is brought to the world. And when Rebecca is deceitful to Yitzchak, it's unclear whether we won by that or lost by that. So here, this is another story of deceit. Esther will remain silent about what family she's coming from. She won't reveal it. And our sages say the reason Esther keeps it quiet is to protect her family, to protect her people. She realizes this man's a hothead, and she's concerned if I tell him what my nationality is, if he gets upset at me, then my nation is in danger. So in order to protect her people, she does not tell Achashverosh what family she's from, right? Now, this Timnis is in the opposite situation, where Mordechai has torn his clothes and he'll tell Esther, go to the king, tell him you're a Jew, because otherwise we're all dead. And she says, but I might die. And Mordechai says, yeah, and if you don't, believe me, you'll die. Your future's finished if you don't go on behalf of your people. So here, Esther goes in and risks herself on behalf of her people. What's the Timnis going to do? She's going to risk Samson on behalf of her people. She's going to make him lose money and try to use deceit to save her family and her people. So I don't know if this allusion over here, where the deceit comes to the Timnis and uses the term mazeh ve'al mazeh, using the term that Esther's about to ask, what are you all upset about to Mordechai? She doesn't yet know the decree. It's exactly the same juncture in the conversation. It's where they're asking what's wrong, but is there more to it than that? Is Ramchal again alluding to the idea that she wasn't so wrong with what she did, the Timnis? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the allusion is. Imri li ata, tell me now. Ki mezima lo yibatzer mimeni. Mezima lo yibatzer mimeni. Mezima lo yibatzer. So the word lo yibatzer, okay, what does it mean? Mezima, planning. Lo yibatzer mimeni, will not be withheld from me. Cunning says, this is my specialty. You're in trouble? I got plans. So the word lo yibatzer appears twice in Tanakh. And the word lo yibatzer always appears with mezima in Tanakh. Lo yibatzer will not be withheld. So the first time it appears is with the Tower of Babel. The people say, let us build the tower, we'll go fight God. God comes down and sees the tower they've built, and God says, if they're all unified like this, this is just the starting point. If they're unified for evil, so then you won't be able to stop them from anything they're planning. They will end up wiping out monotheism from the land. They'll end up being the most destructive people on the face of the earth. So over there it says, lo yibatzer. So that's number one. Number two is in Job. Job says to God, he says, I know you could do whatever you want, and no thought can be withheld from you. You can do whatever you want to me. And again, we have this juxtaposition where deceit says, nothing can be withheld from me. And that same wording is used about God. Mezima lo yibatzer mimeni. Deceit says, no plan can be withheld from me. I can do anything. That's a term that's used about God. Job says to God, I know no plan can be withheld from you. So that goes back to the original idea we were discussing. Latzmiach yishech, I will make your salvation grow. By the way, you know salvation is always described like a plant. It takes time, but it keeps coming. Right? As tzemach David avdecha merat tatzmiach, because like a plant keeps growing, over time you see it, but on the moment you don't, that's the same with salvation. Halo yadat, kochi v'yadi rama, don't you know my strength and my tremendous capacity to achieve? Halo yadat. You know the word halo yadat or halo yadata only appears once in Tanakh, when the tribe of Judah tells Samson, what are you messing around with the Philistines for? Don't you know they're in charge? Halo yadata, don't you know? That's the only place it appears in Tanakh. Lo yatzonik di koch ish chayil, the strongest man can't stand up to me. And this goes back to the recurring theme of the book. What's really considered might? Samson, she's saying, you'll be able to take him down. And we'll see that deceit is right. She says, the strongest man won't be able to stand up for me. Ani chokhma shachanti. So that's really a play on words from a verse. It appears only once in Mishle. Ani chokhma shachanti oma. It says, wisdom is sleeping with cunning. They go hand in hand. But that deserves a longer discussion. We're out of time.